Good evening, it's Katie Gillen with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a Donegal man has been killed in a workplace accident in Australia. The Banking and Insurance Redress Focus Group has hit out at what it says was the unilateral disbandment of a working group by the Department of Housing. A recent inspection has found that overall improvements were evident at the rehab group in Lifford, but ongoing work was required. And the managing director of City of Derry Airport says he wants to see a Derry to Dublin service back in the air, and discussions to make that happen are continuing. These stories in full plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will be here with the latest in sport at around 15:15, and we will have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore after the obituary notices. But first, a Donegal man has been killed in a workplace accident in Australia. It is understood that the incident occurred at around midday yesterday in Queensland when the man aged in his 30s was struck by the arm of an excavator. According to local sources, he sustained serious head injuries and was transferred to Royal Perth Hospital, where he died a short time later. Another man is also in a stable condition following the incident, and investigations are currently ongoing. The Banking and Insurance Redress Focus Group has hit out at what it says was the unilateral disbandment of a working group by the Department of Housing. The group, which was heralded as a major initiative by government last year, brought campaigners, banks, the central bank and department officials together, but after two meetings it never met again. Now the focus group continues to meet with the banks and says they are working towards solutions on issues such as remortgaging and 0% bridging loans. However, spokesperson Seamus Devaney says the banks are playing down the number of people affected, and it's important that people affected by defective blocks tell the banks about their situation.
When we're speaking to the banks, and we are doing this on a regular basis, they're saying that they only have a few hundred people speaking to them. The banks are not stupid. And now that they've been dragged into this, they are actively trying to find solutions. If we have such a small cohort as they can ignore, then they will ignore it because they're a business. Now, we need people to step forward, say it to the bank, say, yeah, we have this situation. Let's get these metrics. Let's get these numbers. Let's create an argument to be able to move things forward.
A recent inspection has found that overall improvements were evident at the rehab group in Lifford, but ongoing work was required. An unannounced inspection was carried out at the centre, which provides full-time residential care and supports for adults with intellectual disabilities, in June. Michaela Clark has this report.
The report published today noted that the centre had experienced challenges. However, the provider had taken action to address them. One example given was that there was an increase in safeguarding concerns upon admittance of a new resident. The provider, however, completed a compatibility assessment and ensured a range of positive behaviour supports were in place. The centre was found to be mostly compliant. One regulation was substantially compliant, with ongoing work needed in relation to the governance, management and oversight of the service in order to provide consistency of support to the staff team and sustain the improvements found in the service. A link to the full report is available on our website, highlandradio.com.
The managing director of City of Derry Airport says he wants to see a Derry to Dublin service back in the air, and discussions to make that happen are continuing. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Steve Fraser said they're seeking to secure a PSO-backed service, and in tandem with that they are seeking to secure financial support from the Irish government, as was the case in the past. With 40% of the airport's traffic coming from Donegal, Steve Fraser says the Irish government understands the facility's importance and the restoration of a Dublin service would be a no-brainer.
They're very understanding of the regional benefits right across the northwest, in particular Donegal, and they're currently considering ways that they can better support the airport. In the past they did, and we're asking them to step up again. Every TD and minister we speak to can see the validity of it. I think there are just a few more little political elements to cover off. At the minute it's sitting with the North-South Ministerial Council, and it'll be on that agenda to progress that in terms of the North-South connectivity and relations. So I'm very positive in the coming months that that the government will see a way forward and a pathway for that.
The 100% Redress Party have said they are dedicated to making the People's Document a central theme in the upcoming general election. The document was launched in March of this year and sets out what is required to achieve a genuine 100% redress scheme for all those with properties affected by defective concrete. The party claim they are the only one to formally endorse it by reaching out to Michael Doherty, who came up with the idea. General election candidate Charles Ward says the failure to support the People's Document risks the closure of essential services such as care homes and childcare facilities.
We have been at the forefront of this incentive. You know, we are the only party to formally endorse the People's Document by reaching out to the focus redress groups, MAG, Paddy Diver and Michael Doherty. And failure to support the People's Document will risk the closure of care homes, hotels, childcare facilities and also like GAA clubs. So we're urging all political parties to commit to the implementation, and with ongoing discussions, the 100% Redress Party will finalise its decision for a potential candidate for TD in the coming weeks.
What is the word from, you know, the local communities? What are you getting back?
Well, the word in the local communities, if you take, for example, in my own community, I'm in the Finn Valley area, and there's the facility in Raphoe. There's facilities all over Donegal that are currently affected, and there's homes. There's a home in Letterkenny that is housing elderly and vulnerable that's currently defective concrete. You know, so it's everywhere. We're currently heading towards a tsunami of public service facilities that are affected with defective concrete that can't even get on the scheme. You know, this is what's currently happening, and the government are idly sitting by and allowing this to happen. But the 100% redress is what's in the People's Document. So you either back the People's Document. I'm asking all these politicians to please state publicly, do you back the People's Document in its entirety?
Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty has pleaded with the Finance Minister to see sense and not waste €9 million on pouches to stop smartphone use in schools. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald has written to the Taoiseach Simon Harris, describing it as a scandalous waste, with many schools struggling to provide heat and electricity. Deputy Doherty, the party's finance spokesperson speaking in the Dáil, appealed to Minister Jack Chambers to reverse the decision to spend the money on phone pouches.
Minister, this is a government that has proven time and time again that it plays fast and loose with taxpayers' hard-earned money. We've seen an overspend of €1.5 billion in respect of the National Children's Hospital. You're spending you've spent €336,000 on the bike shed, €1.4 million on the security hut. And in the budget on Tuesday, we saw the latest example of your waste of taxpayer money when you announced €9 million for phone pouches. The ordinary people of Ireland are asking, has this government lost the plot? This is just another example of a government that can't be trusted with taxpayers' money. You couldn't make this up. So, Minister, just stop. Stop the waste. Unlike the bike shed, unlike the 1.4 million security hut, this money, as of yet, has not been wasted. So will you just please see sense? Will you announce to the people of Ireland that you're not going to waste €9 million on phone pouches? And will you instead put that money into schools so that we can pay for the lights, the electricity costs, the heating costs and other costs that those schools need?
In defending the plan, Finance Minister Jack Chambers says the initiative will make a difference to the lives of students.
You're a party that looks to spend day in, day out in all the budgetary positions you've outlined in your pre-budget submission. It's a party policy defined by more spending on everything. In fact, that's your pre-budget submission. This is a policy to protect children, to protect their mental health and well-being in schools. And you should not. It's disappointing to see you attack an initiative that will make a difference.
The junior transport minister says the Irish government remains committed to co-fund the construction of the A5. Last evening, the North's infrastructure minister, John O'Dowd, gave the green light for works to begin on the Western Transport Corridor. Works are due to commence early next year on the stretch from Strabane to Ballygolly. Earlier this year, the Irish government announced that it was committing €600 million to the much-needed project. Speaking on the 9 till noon show, Minister James Lawless says it's imperative the main Letterkenny to Lifford Road, feeding onto the A5, is now properly funded.
Absolutely. I had a discussion on that only yesterday. It's a very big price tag, I should say. You know, it's not too far short of €1 billion. And that's money being put by the state, by the Irish state, into that shared island infrastructure. Working with the northern counterparts, but being honest, almost entirely funded by the south, by the Republic. I think it's also important that would actually be both sides of the border. So I think it's important if we're investing in the A5 that we also invest in the road that goes into it from Monaghan and then comes out of it in Donegal. So that's end to end. I think it'd be quite ironic to have a situation where the Republic funded significant investments in the north, only to find you drive off it again and the roads were substandard. So it needs to be end to end. I would like to see a contribution, maybe a greater contribution from the north executive towards that. As I understand at the moment, they're not in a position to do so. Or, you know, so look, the talks ongoing around that, but the project is committed to. It will happen. It's part of the Shared Island project, which I'm very passionate about myself, and would share that vision that we need to integrate, you know, as fully as possible, bringing the community together, bringing the island together, so that we're everything but, you know, united in everything but jurisdiction, and perhaps that will come eventually. But so it's something I'll be very supportive of, but it is happening. But as I say, it's not cheap. And I suppose the other point I'd make, for everything that we spend money on, is something else that we can't spend money on. So the other projects you're talking about there, you know, quite rightly you're advocating for in Donegal, you know, and indeed everywhere else in the country. You know, for every pound you spend in one place, it's a pound less for something else.
It's claimed it will take 85 years for all defective block homeowners to receive the redress they are entitled to. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin has hit out at the €70 million included in Budget 2025, which is to fund the defective concrete block grant scheme and the defective apartment redress scheme. He says it is clear the defective block scheme has been designed to exclude homeowners. Addressing Minister Charlie McConlogue in the Dáil during a budget debate, Deputy McLaughlin told him that the scheme will not deliver redress for the thousands of affected homeowners.
They tarnished in Micheál Martin whenever there were 20,000 people from Donegal, Mayo, Clare, Limerick, the west of Ireland, but predominantly from Donegal. Tarnished in Micheál Martin said that the scheme would be the biggest redress scheme in the history of the state. He said it would be £3.5 billion. It's estimated that the defective apartment scheme will be around £2.5 billion. So you've got a total there of £6 billion for those two schemes, and of course Pyrite is still ongoing too. So what was the allocation in the budget for all of these schemes? €70 million. By my estimation, it would take 85 years for everybody who's entitled to redress to get it. It's time to be honest here. Micheál Martin needs to be honest. He was never serious about a redress scheme that everybody could access. The scheme that we have right now is designed to exclude most families. Minister, you know in our home county of Donegal that there are people in their 60s and 70s who can't access the finance. They were not given a 100% redress scheme like over 3,000 families were given in Dublin and North Leinster. They got 100% redress. Our families in the west of Ireland haven't got it. That's why most families can't access a scheme. That's why the allocation in this budget is £70 million, because the government know the scheme is not designed to facilitate proper redress.
The time is 12 minutes past five. We'll be back after the short break. The time is 5:15. Mark Gallagher is here with all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Kitty. Good evening. We'll start with Gaelic Games. The Donegal CCC have confirmed the times for the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Senior Football Championship finals on Sunday the 13th of October. The senior meeting of St Junan's and Dunloe will be at 4 p.m. and that game will be live here on Highland Radio Sunday Sport. The Senior B clash of Gidor and St Junan's will be played at 1:45 on the same day. In soccer, Heimir Hallgrímsson has revealed that Matt Doherty was upset at his omission from the latest Republic of Ireland squad. Watford's Festi Ebosele has been preferred for the Nations League games away to Greece and Finland. There's a first senior call-up for Luton defender Mark McGuinness and recalls for Jack Taylor and Finn Azaz. Hallgrímsson says these remaining Nations League games are a last chance to experiment before next year's World Cup qualifiers.
I called Matt yesterday, obviously, for an explanation. He was not happy, of course. He wants to play every game for Ireland, but I just ensured him that it's not like we are leaving him out. We're just testing other players. I think because of his experience as well, not to bring him in, to have him on the bench, it's better just to give him this camp off.
In the Europa Conference League tonight, Shamrock Rovers begin their campaign at home to Apoel Nicosia of Cyprus. It is one of six games for the Hoops in their group stage. Their manager, Stephen Bradley, says his players want to be tested at this level.
They love the big nights, especially here in Tala. It's always a good atmosphere. You can feel the tension. You can feel the nervousness because you know you're up against a good team, and at times they're gonna hurt us, and all that adds to it. But you can definitely feel the difference in European games. It feels a little bit on edge, which is a nice feeling.
Kickoff at Tallaght Stadium is at 8. Elsewhere in the Conference League, Laren have made the trip to Norway to face Molde, and Chelsea are at home to Ghent. In the group stage of the Europa League, Manchester United are away to Porto from 8 p.m. United boss Erik ten Hag wants his players to use anger as motivation after the heavy weekend defeat at home to Spurs.
You're met. met ourselves. And especially when you lose a game like Sunday, also after all, then when you have to play so long time with 10 players, and then after it's overturned, the red card, that gives frustration, because such a long time to play with 10 is of course never in your advantage, had a real impact on the game. But yeah, you have to deal with it, and yeah, we are mad, and now from the madness we have to get motivation, and we're going to the next game.
Tottenham are in Hungary to play Ferencváros at 5:45, and Rangers host Lyon at Ibrox from 8 o'clock. In golf, Padraig Harrington is the best of the Irish as the opening day of the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship draws to a close. He shot a 5-under par round of 67 at Carnoustie. Shane Lowry shot a 4-under 68 at the same course. Rory McIlroy went round in a 3-under round of 69. Tom McGibbon is 2-under, having also played Carnoustie, while Alex Maguire shot a 2-over 74. The lowest scores of the day came at King's Barons, where Darren Fitchard established a one-shot lead on 11-under. Seamus Power tees off just before 6:30 at the Sanderson Farms Championship on the PGA Tour. Henrik Norlander and David Skins jointly lead there on 6-under par. On to horse racing, Dylan Brown McMonagall has continued his excellent recent form with another winner at Bellewstown this afternoon. The Letterkenny jockey was on board the JP O'Brien trained Baltray Lady in the 1335 nursery handicap after going at 9-2. That's now 7 days in a row that Brown McMonagall has taken a win, with 9 wins in total during that period. He has 1 race left this evening and will be in action again tomorrow at St Cloud, where he goes off in 3 races. In rugby, Bundy Aki and Jack Carty will make their first starts of the season for Connacht tomorrow night. Aki is named at inside centre for their trip to the Scarlets, replacing Shane Jennings. Carty is in for the injured Josh Ione. And there could be a debut off the bench for former Leinster prop Temi Lasisi. And finally, just to look ahead to the score programme this week, we'll be taking a closer look at the Donegal Junior and Intermediate finals that'll take place this weekend. We'll speak with Muff manager Daniel McCauley and Cairn Donagh manager Michael O'Donnell as they prepare for an Inishowen derby in the Junior A final on Saturday. We'll also hear from Tearman manager Keelan McDade and Neave Columba manager Brendan Doherty ahead of their clash in the Intermediate final on Sunday. And in our local soccer segment, we'll be going to Aranmore Island and we'll hear from the Derry City camp ahead of Friday's FAI Cup clash with Bohemians. That's all on The Score after the 7 o'clock news this evening. Back to you, Katie.
Thanks, Mark. And now for the weather, largely dry this evening with a mix of cloud and clear spells with just the odd passing shower and moderate southeast winds, lows of 8 to 13 degrees. To conclude this evening's bulletin, a Donegal man has been killed in a workplace accident in Australia. It is understood that the incident occurred at around midday yesterday in Queensland when the man aged in his 30s was struck by the arm of an excavator. The Banking and Insurance Redress Focus Group has hit out at what it says was the unilateral disbandment of a working group by the Department of Housing. The group, which was heralded as a major initiative by government last year, brought campaigners, banks, the central bank and department officials together, but after 2 meetings it never met again. A recent inspection has found that overall improvements were evident at the rehab group in Lifford, but ongoing work was required. An unannounced inspection was carried out at the centre, which provides full-time residential care and supports for adults with intellectual disabilities, in June. And the managing director of City of Derry Airport says he wants to see a Derry to Dublin service back in the air, and discussions to make that happen are continuing. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Steve Fraser says they're seeking to secure PSO-backed service, and in tandem with that they're seeking to secure financial support from the Irish government, as was the case in the past. That's all from the newsroom for now. We will have the latest farming news with Chris Ashmore after the obituary notices. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, October 3rd. The death has occurred of Kathleen McLaughlin, Nee Gallen, 28 Tully Carr Road, Ahiaran, reposing at her late home tomorrow from 11 o'clock. Funeral from her late home on Sunday at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Ahiaran. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of Jim O'Brien, Green Hill, Letterkenny. Remains are reposing at the Letterkenny Funeral Home, Port Road, from 7pm to 9pm today and tomorrow. Funeral service on Saturday at 11:30 in Conwell Parish Church, with burial afterwards in Gortley Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Dara Scanlon, Gloucester, England, and Letterkenny. Dara's remains will repose at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, tomorrow afternoon from 4 o'clock, with removal at 6:30, going to his brother Jonathan's home at Ochnagaddy, Remilton. House private to family only, please. Funeral from there on Saturday afternoon at 12:15, going to St Union's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on Church Services TV. Interment afterwards in All Saints Church Cemetery, Newton Cunningham. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Grace McKelvey, Guidor Road, Dunlow. Wake today in her own home and tomorrow from 11 o'clock. Rosary both nights at 8 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St. Cronus Church, Dunlow, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland. The death has taken place of Maggie Ward, Ní Boyle, Mullaghy, Glenties. Maggie's remains are reposing at her home in Mullaghy, Glenties. Requiem Mass in the Holy Family Church, Eden Infa, tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on Craig's Media Facebook page. The death has taken place of Bridie Nana O'Donnell, Ní Gallagher of Middletown, Derrybeg. Her remains are reposing at her son-in-law Connell's home in Maharaclugher until 8 o'clock tonight and tomorrow, from 11am until 8pm. Rosary nightly at 8 o'clock. House private after the rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Derrybeg. Interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Aris Guidor, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director Facebook page. The death has taken place of Harry Arbuckle, formerly of 18 O'Nolan Park, Strabane, reposing at his daughter Gemma Tinney's home, 2 Beechmount Avenue, Strabane. Funeral leaving his daughter's home tomorrow morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10pm to 11am. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll look at the budget and the main features from a farming perspective in Donegal. But first, the IFA has announced the rollout of the Farmer Health Checks programme in locations around the country following its successful launch at the recent National Ploughing Championships. The initiative will provide farmers with a free health check worth in the region of €200. In partnership with CREE, the heart and stroke charity, health check clinics are being set up at livestock marts around the country over the next 6 weeks. And this Friday, there will be health screening checks in Donegal Livestock Mart in Donegal Town from 11 o'clock. And those who attend the clinics will also receive a detailed and very helpful health information and advice pack. Now, let's switch attention to the budget. Anne O'Donoghue, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. The budget, as always, it's a bit of a mixed bag. Can't please everybody all the time. But overall, what do you feel the general reaction has been from the farming community?
I feel the reaction from the farming community hasn't been actually that dissimilar to the reaction at large from the general public. You know, the general commentary seems to be that this is a budget that had something for everyone. And on the farming side of the house, it reflected that there is kind of something for all sectors. Now, you could look at it either way. There are not everything got in, so there is criticism of that. Some farmer representatives are saying some measures didn't go that far, and they didn't go far enough, excuse me. And then obviously there was ones that didn't get over the line. So a mixed bag, much like, I suppose, the general reaction. But look, there are some payments there that farmers will be happy with, and particularly Donegal farmers. Donegal being one of the big sheep counties. So the sheep welfare scheme is going to be an additional €12 a year payment on that. So a lot of farmers, sheep farmers in Donegal will welcome that. On the beef side of things, on the beef welfare scheme, that is going to be an increase of €25 per calf. I think both of those on the Donegal farmer side of things, farmers want to know what's going to be in their pocket in terms of their animals, and that's really what they're looking at. Again, when we were saying kind of a something for everything in the audience, when Charlie McConnell, your minister there from Donegal, was drawing this up, tillage, not the pockets of tillage in Donegal, the €100 a hectare there that was already promised for all tillage and feed crops. And then on the dairy side of things, there's a €20 per calf increase in the dairy beef scheme. They're kind of the main payments, but there is more there for farmers when you break it down.
And the new flat rate of VAT, was that flagged in advance?
It wasn't flagged in advance. There was kind of, there were different bits of this where you know, you didn't, it was one of those budgets where you actually didn't really know beforehand. You know, sometimes they're well flagged, and some of this, I suppose, in terms of the IBR scheme that's included, we did know beforehand that was on the front page of the Farmers Journal. But that was, I suppose, one of the surprises that came on the day. Another thing that we were on, it had now the Taoiseach on the residential zone land tax. If the residential zone land tax, if that affects you and your farm, it is monumental. Obviously, if it doesn't, look, it won't be of much interest to you. But the Taoiseach had a lot, there were a lot of promises made, but I suppose you don't know what's going to get over the line until it's budget day. On residential zone land tax, look, there was a commitment given there by Jack Chambers that local authorities will, you can dezone your land, apply to have a dezone next year. So that'll be very welcome. Then I suppose in terms as well, there was €5 million to open a Forgotten Farmers scheme. Forgotten Farmers being a group of young farmers, back at the start of the session in 08, they lost out on key payments due to those austerity measures. And that since, as some people say, the Forgotten Farmers will be so old now that they won't remember they were Forgotten Farmers anymore. But look, there's a scheme open for them, I suppose, just to compensate for those loss of payments in those years. But obviously, that's quite a good time ago. So that group is moving on. It really was, as Mocker and Afirma has said, or Mocker, I think, as they're rebranded as now, it was last chance saloon for them. If they didn't get in under this budget, they weren't going to. There's also, that they're kind of a lot of the new things. There's also, I suppose, a lot of things that we knew that were going to come in. There's €6 million for soil sampling. There's 1.5 and 1.25 million for clover and multi-species wards. The strong corporation measure, which caused quite an uproar in the summer when Charlie McConnell moved to suspend it. We won't get into that whole row, but look, that's been, I suppose, the €10 million pledge for that again. And interestingly as well, there is €2.5 million for farm safety in there. So lots of different things, I suppose, extended that we would expect it to have, as well as a couple of surprises.
And with the Green Party input, no surprise, there's been a boost for the organic farming scheme.
Yes, the organic, just talking to about a colleague there now, it's one of those areas where all the budget is always used. If you contrast it to forestry, they're kind of wrapped up under the same Minister of State, Pippa Hackett heads that up, and forestry doesn't use its budget, there's an underspend there, but organics, the demand is there, and that's just the facts. A lot of farmers in Donegal and all along kind of the Western Seaboard going organic, because I suppose their farming systems are most closely aligned to that. It's not that big of a jump for them. And I suppose the biggest uptick, obviously, in organics is beef, and then followed by sheep. And we know those two being two very popular farming sectors in Donegal. So again, yeah, more money for the organics, as we would have expected, of course. And again, you'd probably expect to see that budget increasing over the next number of years, the additional €10 million there. So I suppose it's something that it's going to be a growing sector, and I think there'll be more and more money going to that in budget.
Yeah. Now, just putting it all in perspective, the total allocation for the Department of Agriculture is just over €2 billion, and it's around 2% of the total budget. So, you know, €1 in every €50 of government spending. When you look at the importance of the sector to the economy, this seems relatively small, but Charlie McConnell, the Minister for Agriculture, has stated, you know, that maintaining that 2% share, I mean, that in itself is a challenge.
Yes, and it's one of those things, I suppose, when I could only imagine that when it comes down to drawing this whole thing up, there's so much pull between the different sectors. I mean, look, I suppose, look, we are wholly focused on farming here because that's our area and that's our brief. But I suppose when there's sectors like health and that coming in. But interestingly, on that 2% of the whole budget, that's pretty much in line, unless you're going into the fours of decimal places, that's in line with last year. And the farming budget did come up slightly last year. So I suppose holding that 2% will be where it'll be at for the next number of years. It's a relatively small size of the pie, as you said, when you look at the, you know, agriculture being Ireland's largest indigenous industry. But I suppose then when you look at the pressures on the healthcare side of the things, it is a difficult one to draw up. But holding and increasing that 2% is definitely where the agricultural industry wants to go.
Yeah, and let's not forget, of course, the farming community will benefit from a range of the other measures announced, ranging from the increase in the income tax, the threshold for 20%, the energy credits, the double welfare payments in certain times and certain categories. So most people will have more money in their pocket.
Absolutely. And just to give a shameless plug here, in the Farmers Journal this week, there's a whole page there dedicated to the, I suppose, we've primarily been talking about the on the farm, inside the farm gate type release and schemes, but there's a whole page there dedicated to a lot, different number of, I suppose, personal taxation and personal relief schemes that have given kind of the examples of one or two people households or one or two people households plus kids. So they're very interesting, and Becca McAvoy, actually a tax specialist, that did that, because those things are quite complex, and I wouldn't even try to get into it now, Chris, to try to tell people about their personal taxation. I'll stay in my lane. But I suppose they're, for most farm families, they're equally as important as, I suppose, the farming measures and release that have been released. You know, lots of farming families across the country will be happy to see double child benefit this side of Christmas. A lot of farmers are pensioners, €12 increase in the pension, so that will be welcome to them too.
And that was Anna Donoghue, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, IFA President Francie Gorman has this week been elected as a Vice President of COPA, the European Umbrella Group of Farming Organisations. COPA also elected a new president, Massimiliano Gianfanti from Italy, who succeeds Christiane Lambert from France. Finally, some advance notice of an event happening on Saturday, October the 19th, when the Wilson's Charity Barn Dance will be taking place in Wilson's Yard, Maharahane Rafoe, from 8 o'clock to late, with live music by Megan Lucas, followed by Paul Kelly and his band. Tickets are €25 and proceeds will go to Bumbleance, Donegal Hospice, Rafoe Community Playgroup and Rafoe Town FC. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.